And my second guest is on the phone from San Diego, and I am going to be chatting with Diane Ohanian. She is the publisher of an e-newsletter, actually two e-newsletters. One is Au Chateau, and the other is France on Your Own. And Diane has been traveling to France for two decades, and she definitely is a big Francophile. And we are going to emphasize a little bit more the provinces of France, since with my first guest, Glenn Cooper, we talked about Paris. I'd like to welcome Diane Ohanian to Travel Fun. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Mary Beth. It's nice to speak with you again.
It's good to have you here. And briefly talk about Au Chateau, your newsletter, and the company that you have.
Au Chateau is a website. It's now in its 10th year, and the newsletter comes out six times a year. And I began it because I thought there was a need for a good English language resource for travelers going to France who wanted to stay in historic luxury accommodations. And it began with properties that were basically bed and breakfast, but today I think about a third of the properties are also weekly rental chateaus or a combination of both. And we're busy. People are traveling to France.
And what I think is really nice about what you do is, in many instances, it gives people the opportunity to have a glimpse at French life. Mind you, in many cases, French noble life, but the way the, you know, it's wonderful when you go to France and you visit these different chateaus, but to actually stay in a chateau is even more of a thrill.
Oh, right. It is. Absolutely. And what we both like about it, because when we go to France, we try to stay in only in chateau in the countryside, is that they're all different. The owners are all different. The places are all different. So every time we go, it's a new adventure. I don't think we've ever traveled and gone to two chateaus that we thought were similar to one another, and it's just a lot of fun. Of course, they're all different ages. We've got two properties that are actually in the family since the 1400s, and that's fascinating, just to listen to them talk about their family history and the chateau's history, and to be in the building is exciting.
And so many of these chateaus require a lot of work. They're historic monuments.
Yes, yes. Some of them are historic monuments, but the expense to maintain them is astronomical.
Is this part of the reason why many of these families have opened up their doors and
absolutely. Yes.
taken visitors?
Well, you know, it's about 50-50. I think that some of them really want to share what they have. They may have their children gone, and they're just an older couple living in the chateau, and they want people around them, and they want to share this wonderful thing with others so they can have the experience. And then there are those that do it for that reason, too, but also because the income they bring in helps to keep it maintained, make repairs, pay for heat. In the northern parts of the country, the winter heat is very expensive for them. And in ground maintenance, I mean, these are vast estates, and so they have a lot of ground maintenance costs.
And what qualifies a dwelling as a chateau or castle?
I think, some of them are just obviously chateaus. They're Renaissance or they're medieval and they're fortresses. But some very nice country homes, big homes, are also called chateaus. I don't know that there is a specific qualification that they have to meet, but some of our properties are manoirs and others are chateaus, and in many cases they look similar to one another. So I really don't know. I think chateau just means elegant home or large country home, in the basic sense. But most of them are obviously chateaus. When you look at them, you're looking at what you would imagine in your mind that a chateau should look like. And we prefer the really medieval ones and the Renaissance ones with the pepper pot towers, and those are our favorites.
Do you have a favorite region of France?
Well, we like the Bordeaux area. There aren't a lot of grand chateaus there. The more chateaus are in the Loire and in Normandy, but we do like the Bordeaux area and the southwest. The climate is lovely, and it's easy to get around. You don't have a lot of big cities, so you can drive through the countryside without, you know, running into a lot of commuter traffic from places that you might find further north. Around south of Paris is very congested. But we like all of France. I mean, there isn't an area we don't like.
And, of course, the area you mentioned around Bordeaux and the southwest of France in general is the gastronomic experience one can have there is exceptional.
Yes, and the wine. The wine is the big attraction. Tourists go there for wine tastings and wine tours, and a lot of the properties we have now produce their own wines. So we have them. They've turned into bed and breakfast, mostly on the recommendation of people who came to taste their wines. They'd say, "Oh, gee, you know, you've got a lot of rooms. Why don't you put people up?" And then suddenly they become chambre d'hôte and also wine producers. So, which is very nice because you've got a huge population now interested in wine around the world.
How would you characterize the French as hosts?
From my experience, I find them excellent hosts. They're very warm and friendly. That could be because these particular people are into having people with them, so they are interested in guests. But even our friends and acquaintances we've met in France have had us to dinner, and they're wonderful hosts. They're very considerate, and they want to know ahead of time if you have any dietary needs, if they're serving you dinner, and they're very polite, and they're just wonderful people. We're very pleased about the friends we've made in France, and my business associates, they're all really, and the nobility is nice, too. I mean, I'm not just saying that. You know, the average owner of a property is very pleasant and very nice, but the nobility is no different. They're not condescending in any way. They don't flaunt their history. In fact, if you call them Monsieur le Comte instead of, you know, whatever his first name may be, he may insist you call him by his first name and just ignore the fact that he's a nobleman or that his family is aristocracy. And so it's very comfortable. No one should be intimidated by them.
And Monsieur le Comte, of course, means Mr. Count.
Right, right. That's right.
And many of these chateaus are owned by noble families. And there's no doubt a mystique around that always seems to intrigue Americans.
I think so, yes. So, well, you know, just the history that we don't have, the buildings that are older than our country by, you know, many times, I think is interesting for Americans. But, yes, meeting people that are nobility is probably very intriguing. And then, I don't know, I hope it's not a disappointment when they find out they're kind of just like everybody else. But they really are, you know, and I do notice they have very large families, which is not typical in France. These families do have, I think on the average, I once figured out that some of my clients of the aristocracy have 5 children. That seemed to be the magic number. And the average French family does not have that many children. But they're very nice. They're all very pleasant, and they love their properties. You can tell that they're really, really proud of what they have. And this may be the case, too, with new owners who have just bought an old property. They delve right into the history of it, and they're sure to let all their guests know all about the great things that are going on, that went on in the chateau, and what they've done to improve it. And it's a lot of fun. It's not staying in a hotel. It's a whole different experience.
What do you like the most about France?
Well, I think in general the lifestyle, the way the French appreciate what they have and how they enjoy their days. They take time for, they're very traditional people. They have these traditions that go from generation to generation, and they enjoy their two-hour lunches, and we enjoy our two-hour lunches when we're tourists there, and it's just a very nice lifestyle that they have. They appreciate, I think, what they have, and it's less hectic and stressful than life in the United States. And, of course, we love the fact that when we drive, we don't have traffic problems like we do here, because Southern California is very busy.
I think a lot of people, when they go to France, they're amazed at how rural it is. So you can, as soon as you get out of Paris and you find yourself on these wonderful country roads. In fact, anybody who has followed the Tour de France or is currently following it can see how rural France is. And it's wonderful to find yourself on these roads with big fields of sunflowers and in Provence, lavender along the roadside.
Also, there's the stunning landscapes. It's just beautiful. You come around a turn in the road, and you're amazed by what you see. And we particularly like these little out-of-the-way villages that are on the highway or right off of a country road, and are often amazed that this little village with nothing more than a few houses has a restaurant. And you go in, and the food is wonderful. And they don't even have a post office, but they've got a great little restaurant. And you wonder, wow, you know, this guy could come to the U.S. and really do quite well because he's a terrific chef. And the atmosphere is always nice. They always treat you well. It's one of the things we like about France in general is that they only have one seating at restaurants. So when you come in for dinner, you don't feel rushed to finish and get out so that the next reservation can come in. And that's a very, very nice thing, because a meal is more of a social event than it is just sitting down to eat. And so that's another thing we do like. We do like that a lot, that we can relax when we're there. It's a restful place to be, I think.
Diane, you certainly are a wealth of information, and I have to add that in your quarterly France on Your Own, and also in Au Château, these e-newsletters, you do have many wonderful articles that talk about French life.
Yes.
And would you provide the websites for those?
Oh, yes. The Au Château website is www.au-chateau.com. And the other website is www.franceonyourown.com. And I want to mention that both newsletters are free.
Can go to those sites to sign up to receive the newsletter.
On the first page of each site, there's a place to click and subscribe to the newsletter. And we don't share our mailing lists with anyone.
And that's Au Château and France on Your Own. Yes. And you also do book reviews. And one of the books that you recently reviewed in France on Your Own is a book that sounds marvelous. I haven't heard about it, but you said it's entitled The Paris Neighborhood Cookbook.
Yes.
Daniel Couet's Guide to the City's Ethnic Cuisines.
Yes, and it is wonderful. It's probably one of my favorite books in a long time that I've reviewed. And it's just a beautiful book to begin with. The photography, the graphics, the layout, everything about it is very nice. And he goes into great detail about the neighborhoods, these ethnic neighborhoods. And I believe there are, five or six major ethnic neighborhoods. And then he goes into places where you can go to markets. And he describes, he doesn't make restaurant recommendations, but he does give recipes, and he does go into the history of the cuisine. And it's really very nice, because when you're in Paris, you often just have French food. And if you were interested in sampling Greek or Asian cuisine or, you know, many others, you could find, through his book, you can find out where to go. And he's a chef himself who grew up in Paris, and now his restaurant is in Stockholm, Sweden. But he sure does know Paris.
He's very international. And
it's available, by the way, on several online websites, so if people want to buy it.
I love a good couscous.
Yes.
Good couscous, the way they make them in North Africa. And I was introduced to couscous in that form in Paris. And so that's always something that I like to have when I go back there. And of course, there's quite a large Arab population in Paris. So,
well, he gives 7 couscous recipes in this book. So he's covered it quite well.
That's the Paris Neighborhood Cookbook. Danielle Couet's Guide to the City's Ethnic Cuisines.
Right.
And I have been visiting with Diane Ohanian, an American that is passionate about France. I have to say, Diane, we share that passion, don't we? I kind of always assume that my listeners know who I am and what I do, but I shouldn't assume that sort of thing. But I lived in Paris 11 years and have authored 4 books on France. So it's in my blood, and whenever there's an occasion, or even without an occasion, I love to talk about France, and certainly Bastille Day is a great time to give a nod to the French and America. It is still the top travel destination in the world, and Americans love going to France.
Yes, and this year they're actually going more than they have in the last few years. Their travel is up. From Americans and Canadians, and that's encouraging to me.
It is, and probably part of it is because so many people held off there for a little bit of time, and when the exchange wasn't as good. So
that's right, it's much better now. So they are traveling again, and the French are thrilled. The French love to have American visitors.
Diane, it's been a delight having you on Travel Fun. Thank you so much.
And nice to be with you again.
Yes, and happy Bastille Day.
You too. Thank you, Mary Beth.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Le cercle des poètes disparu, passant la veille sur la troisième chaîne. Elle avait écrit au correcteur sur sa trousse en dents. Carpe diem. Je me souviens de celle qui m'avait fait changer de place et apprendre l'humilité. À l'élection des délégués de classe aurait fait l'unanimité, mais c'était la nouvelle qui débarque au beau milieu de l'année scolaire. Fatale, parce que ses parents ont dû déménager, quitter leur Finistère natal. Elle s'appelait Marie, Martine, Isabelle ou Solange, avec un drôle d'accent, des expressions étranges. La fille qui venait de loin, on ne peut plus exotique, avait sur la troisième 5 semé la panique. C'est un amour de collège, un fantôme du passé, qui vous revient au petit-déj, une icône du lycée. Le temps fait des siennes et reprend ce qu'il sème. Carpe diem. Avec mon cœur d'artichaut et mes comédons sur le front, j'essayais tant bien que mal de la jouer sentimentale, les hormones en ébullition. Je me revois en sueur sous mon anorak, à l'aise comme un poisson dans l'air, lorsque je déclamais tel Cyrano vert de trac. Tu peux me prêter ton blanc s'il te plaît? Alors je m'étais lancé, je l'avais invité dans le meilleur quick de la région, à boire en grand seigneur un milkshake à la banane dans des grands verres en carton. Sur le disque du grand bleu, la série dans mes bras, scène ultime de la boum, Sophie Marceau et moi, la divine bretonne, Vénus t'es absolue, avait sur ma personne jeté son dévolu. C'est un amour de collège, un fantôme du passé, qui vous revient au petit-déj, une icône du lycée. Le temps fait des siennes et reprend ce qu'il sème. Carpe diem. Combien de fois je m'étais fait ce film projetant au plafond ma vie en l'an 2000. Je me vois bien designer ou alors musicien. Elle serait avocate et puis aussi mannequin. Dans une vaste maison vitrée au bord de l'eau, avec un grand bouvier bernois un peu pâteau, les enfants à boucles d'or qui courent dans le jardin. Un genre de famille Ingalls mais en moi américain. Yeah.